Chef Jamie Oliver knows when a country's cuisine is unfairly maligned. He's one of the cooks who's helped change the idea that all English food is slop. And he knew that when he came on a quest for quintessential American food, he'd find a lot more than junk. Jamie Oliver has just released a new cookbook that's the result of a wide-ranging American road trip. He hit New York, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Georgia, Arizona, and Wyoming, a trip shaped by two major events, the election of the first African-American president and the disastrous recession. He joins us in a moment to talk about it. We want to hear from you. What's the quintessential American dish that you cook? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Jamie Oliver is a chef and television personality. His new book is called Jamie's America, and he joins us today from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you with us on Talk of the Nation.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. This is very much a book written by a Brit. You point out your house is older than this country is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the I've been working here for sort of 15 years now, and I just think the... obviously living in England and Europe on the doorstep, there's such a lot of different cultures and sort of accents of food going on. But America to me was fascinating because obviously most of the history of this country has been recorded beautifully. And really it's just a beautiful melting pot of different waves of sort of immigrant migration, really. So, you know, looking at America as a country was an epic task. And the foods and the sort of stretch of foods is incredible.
You said you went looking for the quintessential American food, but didn't find it. In fact, you found a whole lot of different foods.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, I think that the kind of the way to find beautiful food was more of a mindset. You know, I think because like convenience is so easy and convenient, it's on every highway. You know, it was more of a mindset to sort of get off the beaten track, you know, ask the right people the right questions. And then, you know, when I did do that, you know, we were finding foods that were as artisanal as some of the very best stuff of Spain and Italy.
And not necessarily white tablecloth foods either.
No, I mean, there's some really humble peel-back stuff. I mean, I remember being in Georgia and just having some of the most incredible pit-cooked pork, you know, and the hours. And I actually worked a night with the guy, the pitmaster there. And, you know, the dedication and attention to detail and the kind of, you know, the 12 hours of cooking before, you know, it's the most humble shack, really, that it was being served from. But yet, out the back was, you know, really in-depth love, care and attention. But, you know, I think you can't really put your finger on quintessentially American food. It's incredibly regional.
And you learn the meaning of the American expression to go whole hog.
To go the whole hog, yeah. Absolutely. There are big pork lovers here, and I definitely got to try my fair share.
And there are a couple of recipes from your book at our website. One of which is your take on the American classic dish, macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, well, mac and cheese is kind of obviously, you know, it's a classic dish back home as well. But I think, you know, in this day and age, so much of it's been made out of a packet now. So, you know, I was just kind of excited to sort of see it done properly and with real depth of flavor. And of course, it's a really flexible dish that most, you know, families and kids love.
And the other is, I do have to ask you, I know that one of your passions is, and indeed American junk food and the portions in which it has served in this country have contributed to the obesity problem. And I know you're very concerned about that. And you point out in your book, mac and cheese, if you have it every once in a while is fine.
No, I think that there's no one wants to be involved in a food Nazi, you know, and certainly the inspiration behind one of my other projects, which was The Food Revolution that was on ABC last year, was basically, the health statistics are terrible, you know, and in my country and yours. And it seems that government is slower than ever to respond. You know, there's many effective ways they could make change, and it's just really not happening. So the food revolution really was kind of about what we feed our kids 180 days of the year at school, you know, and how we educate them in sort of how to shop, how to look after themselves, and just basic kind of life skills, really. So that's a massive passion of mine. I mean, it's been something I've been doing for 7 years now in England and America. And you know, things like burgers and pizzas, I love them and I eat them. And it's just, for me, really, it's about, you know, just stuff like labelling and clarity and the ability to give parents and kids, you know, just clarity when they're buying stuff.
And there are recipes for rich dishes in this book, but there are also recipes for a lot of salads. And for example, when you serve something like steak, you say, and make a kick-ass salad to go with it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, that contrast of kind of having, you know, rich elements with kind of vibrant electric elements, you know, salad and, you know, certainly in East LA, where it's a big kind of Mexican culture, you know, the kind of lime juice, citrus, lemon juice, herbs, crunch, softness, you know, that kind of contrast of tastes and textures is so important in getting the palate really working and fired up. And that with a good bit of meat is just great.
We have this tweet coming to us from Monkey Minion. Wait, Jamie didn't even stop off in the Midwest. KC-style barbecue, Kansas grass-fed steaks, deep-fried everything. For shame!
Well, you know, we kind of got around there, but, you know, it's obviously we made 6 one-hour documentaries. We probably went, you know, these states are so big. I mean, at the end of the day, like, Wyoming is the size of England. And England's got 68 million people in it, and I think there was only about 600,000 people in Wyoming. There were more cows than people. But, you know, I think it was, for me, it was just a tip of the iceberg. But hopefully when you look at the book, hopefully you'll be proud of it. And it's, you know, it's a really positive, optimistic view on this incredible melting pot of cooking and cuisines and, you know, from the Aborigines of Arizona to, you know, the new sort of waves of immigrants coming into New York City in the Flushing's area. You know, I was cooking with sort of Western Sichuan Chinese people that have been in New York for 7 days, you know. And it was just fascinating. You know, I just think it's fascinating, really, really fascinating. And, of course, then you've got some of the more, you know, when we were in Wyoming, you know, you got the classic sort of Anglo-German sort of influences on pickles and kind of the kind of cowboy culture and beans and of course, you know, hitting on some of that barbecue stuff.
We're talking with Chef Jamie Oliver, his new book, Jamie's America, Easy Twists on Great American Classics and More. We want to hear your version of the great quintessential American cook food that you cook. 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Teddy's on the line with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi there. Yeah, Portland, Oregon here. Talking about beer can chicken is my favorite dish. I take the chicken, put the rub on it, take a can of beer, half a beer, like a tall boy, drink about half of it, and then insert that, put the chicken on top of the beer can, and put that down into a Weber kettle grill and cook it with mesquite, charcoal, and smoking chips.
Teddy, you will be unsurprised to find there's a recipe for beer can chicken in Jamie's book.
Sounds like he doesn't need it. He's doing just fine on his own, I reckon.
Yeah, I like pecan chips, too. Those are my favorite kind of chip for chicken.
What kind of chips, Teddy?
Pecan from pecan wood from nut tree.
Oh, I see. So that's
pecan.
Pecan. Okay. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we go next to, this is Patty. Patty with us from Cincinnati.
Hi.
Hi, Patty. What's the quintessential American food you cook?
Sausage, gravy, and biscuits.
Sausage, gravy, and biscuits. There is, I know, Jamie, you have a recipe for grits. I don't know if you go for sausage gravy.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, when we were in Louisiana, there was a really great twist on that. And, of course, back home in England, we're big on our sausages as well. But yeah, I like the little biscuits that they make, almost like scones, and they mop up the juices, just beautiful. And of course, every time you go into a different area of America, sometimes you get similar elements. But with, you know, when I was in Louisiana, there were peppers and a little chili through there, and you know these different accents coming in, which is just exciting, isn't it? It's great.
Well, that's the reason I called. Everybody in my family makes it, but they all make it a little bit different.
Yeah.
According to their own taste. I know that.
And how do you do your gravy, babe?
Put a little maple in it.
How do you do your gravy?
I crumble the sausage and cook it with a little bit of maple syrup.
Right.
And then
so you're sort of glazing it almost.
And then a little bit more just at the finish. Just to give it a little bit of a salty, sweet, spicy flavor.
Yeah, it sounds great.
And which of your relatives, Patty, makes it, except for you, the best?
Oh, that would be my mom, second only to me, but my mom who taught me how.
And does she use the syrup as well?
No, I'm the only one in the family that does it. My husband liked it, and so that's how we started doing it.
All right. Well, Patty, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to, this is Jay with us, another caller from Cincinnati.
Hi. Hey, it's such a pleasure to talk with you. I appreciate so much what you're doing for cuisine. But my thing is breakfast burritos. I learned these in Austin, Texas, 25, 30 years ago. And basically I take hash browns, make an omelet, put that inside a burrito, and you can do all kinds of stuff with that. Add refried beans, add raw or steamed vegetables, sausage, anything.
That sounds like a lunch and a dinner to me, not breakfast.
Yeah, breakfast.
There must
lunch,
be some serious
dinner,
mining going on down there.
Jay, what is your favorite addition that would make it distinctively yours?
Distinctively mine. The way that I do the hash browns is I put onions in them and drizzle some cheese on top of it. I probably put too much cheese overall into this whole thing. You know, cheese makes everything better.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Jay.
Hey,
appreciate
thank you.
And Jamie Oliver, you were talking about discovering the joys of cooking out on a campfire.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, whether it's Wyoming and the whole kind of you know, cattle ranching and being on the wagon back in the day. And of course, you know, back home in England, you have fields and you have fences. But, you know, out in Wyoming, you've got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles of open land. You can't really control it. So, you know, cooking over a big cast iron pot, you know, just like in Louisiana back in the day when they were settling there. You know, it's interesting, both, you know, Wyoming and Louisiana, nearly every man said that they cooked. No, absolutely, men cook. Oh, completely, men cook, you know. And it was interesting because you could go to a totally different part of America where, no, the women cook. You know, we go and do the work, you know, they cook. So it was interesting kind of seeing how the way, you know, whether we're talking 100 or 150 years ago, the sort of, you know, the way that people landed in different parts of the states, you know, their attitudes to cooking, you know, have stayed. And to this day, you know, young Louisianan boys are still cooking and proud of it. So very exciting. And of course, there's nothing like open fire, coals. You know, even if you're making a stew or a soup, you know, you've got the smoke just slightly kissing that liquid, and you get that incredible, almost like, it's almost like a seasoning that's disappeared these days in sort of, you know, the way we conventionally cook with stainless steel boxes and, you know, coil elements to heat it up. You know, it's so bland. So even when you do basic stuff over a campfire, it tastes great.
We're talking with Jamie Oliver. Again, the book is Jamie's America, Easy Twists on Great American Classics and More. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Linda's our next caller. Linda on the line from San Mateo.
Hi, Jamie. I'm a really big fan. We love your orange chicken with all the cloves and all that good stuff. I think that the quintessential food is barbecue of any kind in America. We use it as a way of, you know, socially gathering, and you're able to cook quite a, you know, big quantity if you're hosting parties like my husband and I and our family do. I think our favorite meal that you know, our friends enjoy, that's our signature dish, is a lamb burger with an aioli, garlic aioli, mint, you know, and then a mint jelly on the other side that we layer in with toasted buns that everybody enjoys.
Wicked. That sounds absolutely amazing.
It's really delicious, and
it's, it's interesting that you're majoring on lamb, because, you know, lamb is probably by a long, long way one of the least popular meats in the States.
Yeah, but, you know, we like to do things that are a little bit different. We always try to push the envelope, try to do things, try to, you know, the only way you're going to find some new fabulous creation is to just mess around and tinker until you get it. The one thing that we've really taken inspiration from you that I think has changed, you know. A part of the way that we cook is the whole idea of the fresh ground spices, that you don't get them in a jar and you don't have them in the can sitting forever. And it's a little bit of a commitment with a family of three young children under the age of 9 in my house to try to make space for all that with all the things. But back to your point about the health issue, I mean, we make it a really big point. I definitely get on my soapbox. I'm like the PTA president at my school, and I try to push this along to other people. But, I mean, my 6-year-old knows how to check the grams of sugar on the box of a cereal. She knows what's appropriate. I mean, these are things that kids are capable of learning. And I think that my most proud parenting moment was when my 8-year-old was at a party for school, and they were giving out all these treats and all these things in a buffet. And my son said, he didn't pick any of the cookies or anything. And the teacher said, well, Sam, I'm sure, you know, you should, you know, your mom would say it's okay. And he said, oh, no, it's fine. It's just that it's my grandmother's birthday and we're going to be having cake later. And so I just, you know, I'm kind of pacing myself.
Yeah. Well, that's the
and
thing.
The teacher was shocked, you know, but I was like, oh, thank God it's getting through.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the interesting thing is you know, the clarity of labeling and honesty of labeling isn't great over here, you know. And I think also the, you know, what you're allowed to say on adverts on TV as far as the nutritional benefits of things or even medicine and drugs, I mean, would be illegal in my country. I mean, that's the interesting thing. You know, I mean, I work almost equal on the food revolution in the States and in England, but there are some similarities and there's some massive differences as well. But I think that's great. You know, one of the most precious things you can give your child is just the kind of ability to be a bit more streetwise about food, where it comes from. And I always say, if the back of the pack looks like a NASA science lesson, don't buy it.
Linda, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Jamie Oliver, thank you very much for your time and good luck with the book and the television series.
Lovely. Take care.
Jamie Oliver's book is called Jamie's America. You can find recipes for the killer mac and cheese and a chocolate mole tart on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. News coming in from Capitol Hill that John Boehner has been elected as the leader of the Republicans in the House of Representatives. So he's now the Speaker of the House in waiting. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Lawrence of Arabia, far more than the man on the movie screen. We'll talk with Michael Korda on his new biography of T.E. Lawrence called Hero. Join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Cunningham in Washington.